You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
I'm not a believer. You know that. I don't believe in sky daddies or magic friends or haunted houses or haunted uteruses, for that matter. Don't come at me with your immaculate conceptions or your virgin births. Yeah, no. I'm a rational person. I believe in science and empiricism and double-blind studies and control groups. Basically, I believe in things that would be true whether I believed in them or not. But I pick pennies up off the sidewalk if they're face up. Face down, bad luck to pick up a penny. Face up, bad luck not to pick up a penny. I also cross myself on airplanes, takeoffs and landings, spectacles, testicles, wallet watch, spectacles, testicles, wallet watch, and I've flown on a lot of airplanes and always arrived safely at my destination. Coincidence? I don't think so. Of course, all the other people on my flight who weren't crossing themselves also arrived safely at their destinations, but only because I was there furiously crossing myself the whole time. Really, the other passengers should be thanking me and not the pilot when they get off the plane. So yeah, clearly, while I'm not a believer, I'm obviously superstitious, which is why I stopped myself, and backed up and re-recorded the intro to this week's show after making the mistake of saying, hey, we did it, gang. We got through 2020. Happy New Year. Not only is that shit jinxy, it's not true. Not all of us made it through 2020. We lost Helen Reddy, which was sad. We lost Herman Cain, which was... Anyway, 2020 isn't done with us yet. That's my point. We've got three more days to get through before 2020 ends. And if we've learned anything from 2020, it's that anything can happen in 2020. Pandemics, murder hornets, super gonorrhea. But not everything that happened in 2020 was bad. We got a vaccine for a new disease in record time. Thank you, science. I also crossed myself every time I read an article about vaccine research. I really did. So thank you, Dan. We also got Tiger King and a new season of Big Mouth and large boulders that were the size of the small boulders and Chromatica Oreos and health departments, big and small, endorsing glory holes. And Joe Biden won the presidential election. But the bad so far outweighed the good in 2020 that we're all understandably anxious for this year to end. But let's not jinx things. Let's not declare this thing over until this thing actually ends. We've got three more days to get through before 2020 is over, and then 19 more days to get through before Trumpy is over. So if all goes well, and I'm crossing myself right now, we'll get through the rest of 2020 in one piece and be back at you next week with our installment of the Savage Lovecast. But I am not going to jinx things by wishing you a happy new year. Not today, not next week. Because I distinctly remember people wishing me a happy new year on December 31st, 2019. And we all know how that turned out. Okay, on today's show, on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and Tim Miller, former Republican operative, joins me on the show to try and talk me out of hoping Donald Trump runs for president in 2024. We also discuss our former Twitter feud and a curse I once laid upon Tim Miller's deck. All that coming up on today's show. This episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep, the best mattress for your individualized comfort. Right now, my listeners get up to $200 off all mattress orders at helixsleep.com/savage. Me Undies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own, and to check it out yourself, go to meundies.com/savage. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Go to greenchef.com/savage90 and use that code SAVAGE90 to get $90 off, including free shipping.
Hey Dan, I'm a mid-30s guy from SF calling in with a quarantine sex success story. In the before times, my partner and I went to lots of play parties here in the Bay Area. We loved getting costumed up and spending the night dancing with and fucking our friends. Well, we obviously can't do that right now, so we've been having our own two-person play parties at home. We'll put on some pretty lights and loud music, dress up in sexy outfits and makeup, and spend all day getting high and fucking each other. We miss including our friends in the fun, but our two-person parties have helped keep our sex life alive during COVID.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your quarantine success story. I want to reemphasize an important point we make around here: moderation in all things, including moderation. It's good to be immoderate every once in a while. So whatever drugs you and your boyfriend are enjoying together, I hope you are using, not abusing. Again, thank you for calling in and sharing. If you have a sex success story that you would like to share, we like to start each week's show with something positive, something that's working before we get to the things that aren't working, before we get to everyone's problems. So give us a call, share your quarantine or just your sex success story, and we might open next week's show with it.
Hi, Dan. I'm a cis straight woman calling you from the toilet because I have my 8th urinary tract infection this year, if not more. I lost count. And I basically have this issue oftentimes, well, basically every single time with a new partner, and often other times as well. Any advice would be so appreciated. I am so over this. Yes, I pee after sex. Yes, I have medication at this point that I'm supposed to take after every time I have sex. Any advice that you could give would just make me feel better.
I feel for you, and I feel terrible for you. And urinary tract infections are horrible and painful, but I'm just really bumping on. I am stumbling over one detail in your call, and it's making it a little hard for me and perhaps some other listeners to sympathize right now, which is that in the last year, you've had up to 8 new partners. You say that this happens usually when you have a new partner or always when you have a new partner, and this has happened 8 times in the last year. I hope you haven't had 8 new partners in the last year during the COVID pandemic. We should be fucking the people we live with. We're bringing someone, one person, into our fuck bubble, having a fuck buddy, a sex buddy, as the Dutch call them, and not, you know, having lots of new partners right now. I don't want to slut shame you. I don't want to sex shame you. Slut shaming and sex shaming is literally not what I went into this to do. I went into it to do the opposite, but I am really struggling with that detail that you tossed off there in your call. If you are drinking plenty of water, if you're drinking cranberry juice, all this according to the Mayo Clinic, wiping front to back, emptying your bladder after intercourse, which you say you're doing everything you reasonably can, and now you're medicating yourself after every sexual encounter, you're doing everything possible to prevent these UTIs. You may have, your anatomy may be such that your urethra is very short, and there's a very short distance that bacteria have to travel from your meatus, from the opening of, I think it's a meatus also on women, that's what it's called on men, the opening of the urethra on the outside of the body to your bladder, and that results in these infections. And perhaps the guys you're sleeping with have very different flora landscapes than you do, and that just makes you super duper extra susceptible. Is the sex worth it? Then you may have to live with this. I'm just spitballing here, but perhaps if the first few times you got together with a guy, you didn't do vaginal intercourse, you did other forms of intercourse and sex play and outer course, maybe that would result in you becoming acclimated to their biome and less likely than when you are exposed to their bacteria through vaginal intercourse. And during vaginal intercourse, one person's bacteria, the male's bacteria, can really get ground into the urethra of his female partner. Maybe you'd be less likely to develop a UTI, develop that infection if you were acclimated to their flora and fauna. But again, I'm just spitballing. I wish you luck, and I hope you're being safe. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Helix Sleep. Me and my husband have been sleeping and doing other things on our Helix mattress for over a year now, and we just love it. I wish I was on my Helix mattress right now, but Nancy will not record the show from my Helix mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody's unique, and Helix knows that, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size folks. I took the Helix quiz. We actually took it together, me and Terry, and we were matched with the Lux Midnight mattress because I wanted something that felt not too soft, but not too firm either. And Terry and I both tend to move around a lot at night, and that made the Lux mattress perfect for us. So if you're looking for a mattress, take the quiz, order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. And of course, I really love this part. Helix mattresses are built with sex in mind. They are as sturdy as can be. They can take anything and anyone you throw at them. Helix is awesome, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Just go to helixsleep.com/savage, take that 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best night's sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will love it. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/savage. Be sure to use the /savage so they know the Lovecast sent you. That's helixsleep.com/savage. Up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows. helixsleep.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I am a 28-year-old lesbian calling about my friend who is in an abusive relationship. He is a 28-year-old gay guy, been with his husband for 3 years, married for one of those years. And since the beginning of their relationship, he has been being physically abused by his then-boyfriend, now husband. He's been choked. He's been to have the shit beat out of him. And things were good for about 6 months for them. And then last night, after me and my friend were talking on the phone and video chatting, his husband got upset and choked my friend. I don't know what to do to help him. I've offered to drive down and pick him up. I've offered to let him stay at my house for as long as needed. Calling the police isn't an option. They're both people of color. I don't think that would be safe. And I just don't know how to help him. I think it might be one of those things where he has to want the help that I'm offering him. I mean, he knows that there's the open door that I will accept him and love him no matter what, and that he always has a safe place to contact me and to come to my house. And he acknowledges that his relationship is abusive and bad, but he is staying in it. So I guess my question is, how can I help my best friend out of an abusive relationship when he's unwilling to leave?
Some people stay in abusive relationships because they don't have options, because they are trapped, which is why it's infuriating to hear people say to someone or say about people who've been in abusive relationships that they didn't just leave. Why didn't you just leave? People say that. Why didn't you just leave? Well, sometimes children are involved and sort of are hostages and are threatened. Sometimes a person is so economically dependent, has no family. Often an abuser cuts their victim off from all of their support systems, and the victim is afraid to reach out to family members that they're estranged from, friends they haven't talked to in 5 or 10 years. Sometimes an abuse victim is too embarrassed to reach out to a friend because they chose to stay in the relationship when it was clearly abusive and the friend attempted to intervene, encouraged them to leave, and the victim, for other reasons, stayed and became increasingly isolated and desperate. That's not the situation here with your friend. You are there. You are offering to come get him, to drive down there and rescue him from this relationship, from this marriage, and he is refusing your help. There's not a lot you can do in that situation. If he has an escape plan, if he has someone willing to create that escape plan with him and for him and facilitate it, and he refuses to avail himself of it, he is an adult. You can't drag him out of there by his ankles. You can't force him to go. So as painful as it is for you to watch these cycles of abuse repeat themselves, or that's too passive language, I think, as painful as it is for you to watch your friend be abused by his husband, who's doing these things, they aren't just happening, there's not a lot that you can do about it. Now, on the subject of the police, yes, you have to be very thoughtful when you're calling the police. The police have, as we've seen again and again and again, as makes the news again and again and again, shown up, been called when there's a mental health crisis, when there's a domestic violence dispute, and instead of de-escalating, escalated the violence. And somebody wound up getting shot and killed. And it's usually not the cop. Somebody, black or brown, winds up getting shot or killed. So I can understand your hesitancy, but I do not think it is wise to endorse a sort of blanket policy of never, ever calling the police when someone is being abused, when someone is in physical danger. Now, you probably aren't aware of the moments when your friend is being choked and, in your words, having the shit beat out of him by his husband, but perhaps the neighbors are hearing this. Perhaps other people are hearing this. And I think if you're overhearing that kind of abuse and violence, you may have to call the police. And we need to bear in mind that perhaps our perceptions are a bit skewed. When the police show up at a domestic violence call or a mental health crisis call and kill someone, which they shouldn't fucking do, and we should be sending out more often than not social workers, not police officers, to address a lot of these situations where police know nothing in their toolbox but violence and threat. But we hear about the cases where the police officers escalated to violence when they didn't need to, when they abused their authority, when they engaged in unnecessary brutality. And almost invariably, it's a brown or black person that kind of brutality is directed at. We don't hear about the thousands of instances every day where police officers show up at a domestic violence call and don't escalate. So I realize my privilege here. I am a white guy. If the cops show up at my house because somebody thinks somebody's getting the shit beat out of them, I am unlikely to be killed. And that appalls me. But there are going to be cases when it comes down to call the police or do nothing and let someone die at the hands of their romantic partner. When there may be a small risk that someone might die at the hands of the police if they show up, there could be a greater risk, indeed a certainty, because abuse like this escalates over time, that that person will die at the hands of their partner. And I think in those cases, we have to use our best judgment. And it may be a case where the least worst option for the victim is involving the police. You're in a better position to know if your friend is in a situation like that. My first impulse is also your first impulse. Don't call the cops. Drive down there. Pick him up. He refuses your help. He refuses to go. You're unlikely to be in a situation where you hear him having the shit beat out of him as it's happening. You probably hear about these things after the fact, which again argues against you being the one who might need to call the police. But for others out there who might be overhearing domestic violence, which often escalates to murder or murder-suicide, there may be instances, there may be cases, there may be moments when calling the police, as fraught as that feels and as fraught and dangerous as that often is still the right thing to do. Out with the old, in with the new, right, motherfuckers? And I am talking, at least now, about your underwear drawer. My God, it's time to switch things up in there. Let 2021 be your year for Me Undies. They make the softest goddamn underpants you can possibly imagine. Me Undies knows that you need to get seriously cozy right now. Their loungewear and undies are super soft and come in everything from classic to adventurous prints. With a MeUndies membership, you'll get new pairs automatically sent right to your door. With site-wide savings and exclusive sales, members automatically pay less for everything. I'm getting through these dark days wearing my MeUndies lounge pants pretty much 24/7. They're the most comfortable single item of clothing I own, and I'm in them all the time. And Nancy and her daughters swear by the boy shorts style of MeUndies underpants. That's what she tells me. She also says that on laundry day or after laundry day, they solemnly divvy those boy shorts up. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you are not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/savage. Let them know the Lovecast sent you by using the promo code SAVAGE. That's MeUndies.com/SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 30-year-old woman in a relationship with a 38-year-old man. We've been together for a year, and more of our relationship has taken place in quarantine than not. We're living together at this point in order to reduce our risk of COVID. He has roommates and I don't. My partner has a messy relationship with alcohol. He drinks too much and for the wrong reasons. He's taking steps to improve his mental health, but it doesn't really seem like he wants to reduce his alcohol intake specifically. His issues lead to a lot of lying about minor things, making immature life choices, and making me feel that my boundaries, time, and feelings are frequently disrespected. We've had a lot of talks over the last few months about how he can show up for me as a better partner, and some things really have improved, but some things haven't, and I suspect he's just gotten better at hiding things from me. The most recent example is that he texted me that he was leaving work at 11 p.m. I woke up 3 hours later in a panic because he wasn't home yet. It turns out he had stayed late at work to drink with his coworker, undoubtedly not outdoors or socially distanced. He came home another hour later, drunk off his ass, meaning he also drove drunk. I've lost count of how many times this exact scenario has played out. I'm not sure how much more time I'm willing to put into this project. I grew up with alcoholic parents, so this behavior is extra triggering for me. I know that addicts just lie a lot, usually about the stupidest things. I also know that they just need tough love while they work on improving their mental health. This man is kind and gentle, he's a good communicator, and the sex is really good. I know that relationships take work, but is this the kind of work people mean when they say that? Is this a price of admission situation? I'm so sad and so sick of being disappointed in him. I just really need advice on whether I should stay and continue to work on this or leave because he's hurt me over and over again. How many chances is too many?
When I talk about the price of admission, I always say that emotional or physical abuse, not a price of admission that anyone should be willing to pay to be in a relationship. Realizing that you're the one who's always going to have to do the dishes because the other person can't do them or does them badly or doesn't even see them, a price of admission you might be willing to pay. Being the one who has to look after the taxes and look after the money because the other person isn't good with money or numbers, perhaps that's a price of admission you'd be willing to pay to be in a relationship with an otherwise lovely person. Totally smitten with someone, in love with them, into anal, they're not into anal at all. Going without anal, perhaps a price of admission you would be willing to pay to be in that relationship. Putting up with alcoholism, particularly with your family history, his alcoholism over the last year, these incidents of him drinking to excess and lying to you, I think that falls under the category of a kind of emotional abuse. And it's too great, too steep a price of admission for you to pay. You've given him a chance. You've put some work and effort into this relationship because he's kind and gentle and the sex is really good. And perhaps working on it was the price of admission that you were willing to pay over the last year. But what you've realized now, or what's evident now after the work that you've done, is it's not helping. Nothing is going to change. He hasn't changed. He is choosing alcohol over you and doing things like driving home drunk in the middle of the night, like having drinks with coworkers in a non-socially distanced environment after work, that's putting himself at risk, putting you at risk, putting strangers on the street in the middle of the night at risk. All prices of admission that you should not be willing to pay. He may come around. He may get better. Usually with an addict, alcoholics, a lot of alcoholics in my family, they have to hit bottom. And one of the ways they hit bottom is losing girlfriends who were trying to help them, whose help that they were not accepting. So paradoxically, sometimes the most helpful thing you can do for an addict in a situation like this is chuck them out of your apartment, chuck them out of your life, break up with them. So they see that they're not getting away with these lies and the alcohol is really costing them. You say that he has roommates, he has a place to go. Him being in your space right now, in the condition that he's in, is putting you at risk, not just for his alcoholic bullshit and the lies and the drunk driving, but for coronavirus, for COVID-19. Also a price of admission you should not be willing to pay at this stage of the pandemic. End this relationship. You gave it a year. You really made your best effort. You took your shot. It didn't change him. He has to change himself. You can't force this change. And your presence in his life is obviously not motivating him to make this change. Perhaps your absence from his life will motivate him to make the changes he needs to make. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA-certified organic meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or just looking to eat healthier, there's a range of recipes to suit any diet or preference. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, so there's a wider variety of meal plans to choose from, and you can easily switch between them. So we decided to give Green Chef a try here at our house, and we are happy to report that our meals were delicious. With Green Chef, enjoy clean ingredients that you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness, and the ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, mostly prepped, so you can spend less time stressing, less time chopping, and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box, so you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. We got our Green Fresh box last week with three meals in it. Pork patties with aje verde were delicious. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but they were delicious. So was the shrimp boom boom salad. And tonight we are making the chicken with creamy lemon sauce. Both of the meals we've had so far from Green Fresh were terrific. Terry, who made them for us, found the pre-measured, perfectly proportioned ingredients really helpful. Go to greenchef.com/savage90 and use the code savage90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's greenchef.com/savage90 and use the code savage90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Hey, Dan, I'm a big guy. Been getting in shape and feeling pretty happy with that, but still have the persistent phenomenon known as the FUPA, the fat upper pubic area, which, you know, it kind of gets in the way with sex. I can definitely use my hand to lift and take care of that and, you know, free things up a little bit. But I'm just wondering if you know of any company that makes some clothing that would help with that. I'm thinking of something like, you know, bike shorts, compression shorts with a hole cut in it. And I think probably there are some women out there that would enjoy something similar that would work with the way that they're built. Something that just kind of lifts that area up and opens it up. So if you know of anything, love to hear about it.
Cutting a hole in some bike shorts is a great idea. Some compression shorts for the gym, cutting a hole. That'll work. If you want to go the fetish wear routes, Lycra, neoprene in particular, rubber. There's a lot of fetish companies out there. You can start at Mr. S. That's the one I always recommend. That sell basically fetish gear that isn't designed to hold up the FUPA or obscure it, but can have that effect. Fetish wear might be, you know, kind of the original Spanx, at least the neoprene, at least the Lycra, at least the rubber. And there's a lot of crotchless stuff out there that's on the market that's being sold. It's going to be more expensive. You will pay what I call the kink tax. If you want to DIY it, yeah, compression shorts or Lycra, tight Lycra reinforced bike shorts that you cut or a bike singlet that you cut a hole in for your dick. Yeah, that'll work. That'll totally do the trick. But if you want to go a bit more fetishy, if you want it to look a little less DIY, check out the gear for sale at the fetish shops for gay men.
Hi, Dan. About a year ago, I got a divorce, and then my high school boyfriend contacted me. We fell in love, and we are now doing long distance. And I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him, and there's no question about our relationship. But I'm a teacher, and everything is shut down. And I am wondering if, Dan, do you think I should risk everything and move out there to be with him? We're not going to live together. I might not even live within, I might have to live an hour, half an hour, 45 minutes away from him in order to get a teaching job. But I might not be able to get a teaching job. I might have to work at a grocery store or a bank or something. And I want to know, do I give up my current safe job for love? I love him. And the idea of this current school year ending and me spending another year away from him. It breaks my heart. So do I do that or do I go for safety? Do I go for monetary safety or do I go for love?
Oh, I love love. You sound so in love. And I really want to tell you to go for it, to move closer to him, to get where you can be with this person who makes you feel this way as often as possible, as much as possible. But there are risks. You could move halfway across the country to be with this person. You could walk away from a stable, well-paying job that you like and are happy with, and things could end up not working out with this guy. As in love with him as you are right now, there's always a chance that things might not work out, and then you will be stranded somewhere, perhaps working in a grocery store with some other job that you don't like as much, that doesn't provide you with as much financial security, living with regret. But if you stay put, if you don't move, you will be living with regret where you're at right now. So there's either the certain regret of not moving to be closer to this guy, or the possibility of regret if you do move to be closer to this guy. And I think, given a choice between certain regret and possible regret, that possible regret is the rational choice. But I think you're also creating a bit of a false choice for yourself. There's being with him or being where you are. You can, as so many people do, as I have done, the long distance relationship thing, not eternally. You can give it another year. You can go to see him as often as possible. You can have him come to see you. You can spend as much time together as possible. Hopefully once everyone is vaccinated, that will be a lot of time without having to quit your job and without having to move. And then if in a year you still feel this way about him, if in 2 years you still feel this strongly about taking the risk of moving to be closer to him, because apparently he can't move to be closer to you for some reason, maybe that's also a possibility that you two could discuss in the year or two that you do the long distance thing, then you can make this decision. So the choice then isn't to end the relationship or move and be with this guy that you love. The choice can be not to move and be with this guy that you love and to continue then to see where this relationship goes. And maybe you'll get to a point where the choice will be between the certain regret of staying put, of continuing to do the long distance thing, and the much diminished possibility of regret if you move, because you'll know with a greater degree of certainty that the chances of possible regrets are much, much smaller.
Hi, Dan. 35-year-old woman calling from the Midwest. Have a question about kids. Me and my husband have decided not to have children. We have no ambition to, etc. Why do I feel defensive when coworkers or customers at my store question me about why I don't want to have kids? I've gotten to the age now where I have to start saying, well, now I'm too old to have kids, instead of saying, I don't want kids. Well, why don't you want kids? Well, because I don't want to. So how do I say that nicely without the resentment coming out? And why do people feel the need to shame me about it?
I secretly hope that some of the people who ask you why you don't want kids would like you to articulate your reasons because they don't want kids and they need help making the argument to the people that ask them this rude and impertinent question. Or maybe they just want to be talked out of having the kids that they've been led to believe that they're required to have. And meeting somebody, particularly in the Midwest, maybe in the circles you move in or the places where you work, is rare, and they're excited to meet somebody who doesn't want kids. That's not usually the case, though, when rude and inconsiderate people ask this question, press this case. Usually they're shaming you, as you rightly do feel shamed by them, because that's what they are attempting to do, for making a different choice, for not wanting the things in life that they want, the things in life that they have been told they must want, they've been assigned to want. And then they meet somebody who doesn't want those things, is making a different choice, and they feel threatened and they lash out. And it is pathological. And I don't think you should worry about being nice to people who are trying to shame you or people who are asking rude and intrusive and invasive questions, people who are really invading your privacy in this way. You could, for all they know, have desperately wanted children and been unable to get pregnant or had an adoption fall through or had several adoptions fall through. And this could be a very painful subject for you, for all they know, which is why people are told again and again and again by advice professionals not to ask this fucking question when you meet people who don't have kids, or when you find out someone has decided or a couple has decided not to have kids. You don't get to demand their reasons. So yeah, don't worry about being nice. Shut these conversations down if you don't want to have them. And it doesn't sound like you do want to have them. That's a private matter. I don't want to discuss it because I don't. Why would you ask me that question? Just narrow your eyes. Why would you think to ask me that question? Or why would you think that this is something that I would discuss with a stranger? You say that customers ask you this question. Shut it down. Maybe you're in a position where you have to be nice and polite to your customers and you have to kind of laugh it off, but not with your coworkers. And if your coworkers keep it up and the business you work at is large enough that you have an HR, go complain to HR about what your coworkers are doing to you, putting you through, about the rude personal questions that they are asking you. And then if you can't shut it down, nicely or not nicely, maybe HR can shut it down for you.
Hi, Dan. This is a 30-something cis pan woman. I'm calling for a question about attachment theory and falling in love during the time of coronavirus. For context, my partner and I met online in April, and we chatted online, then we video chatted, and then when it was safe, we met in person and had a distance date, and we've been together now for 8 months, and it's really amazing. I can't imagine how I would have gotten through the last 8 months without him. And the communication is unbelievable. It's really very honest. And the sex is really good too. I'm having really the time of my life, which seems odd during a pandemic. And I guess my concern is that when the world opens up again, how will this affect our relationship? I mean, we've never been to a restaurant or a bar together. We've never been to a party together. We've seen each other's friends kind of a little bit over the summer, but not anymore. And so, yeah, when we hang out, it's very him and I and in our own little world. And it's wonderful, but it won't be like that forever. And I'm wondering if there's any sort of attachment theory about that kind of thing.
Attachment theory, as I understand it, is about a child. It's about a child having a loving caregiver that they feel safe with, who tends to their needs. And that early relationship in infancy and toddlerhood makes it possible for someone to form healthy relationships later in life. You don't usually hear about attachment theory in reference to adult romantic relationships entered into when everyone is fully grown. I don't think it's really, you know, the ability to attach that's at question here. You guys have made an attachment. I think you're worried about a stress test. Now, for a lot of people's relationships, the pandemic was the stress test. And a lot of people's relationships collapsed under the weight of the stress of the pandemic, of being confined, you know, locked up inside with just your romantic partner, or just your spouse, or just your boyfriend, just your girlfriend, just your envy friend, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A lot of relationships weren't built for that kind of closeness. And I think some people are out there ending relationships that perhaps they shouldn't end, or making plans to end relationships that they shouldn't end because their relationship didn't work under the stress of the pandemic. Well, the pandemic is going to come to an end, and then the other things that were a part of your life that made your relationship work, having other friends, getting to other places, getting to go to work, those things are going to come back. And if the relationship was loving and fulfilling under those conditions, I don't necessarily think you should end it because of pandemic conditions that are hopefully temporary and that we won't see again in our lifetimes. You're facing a very different kind of stress test. You're anticipating that stress test and you're stressing out about it. And that stress is about getting out from under the pandemic conditions, you know, no longer being confined, basically, with just your relatively new romantic partner, moving through the world as a couple, encountering others as a couple. On the one hand, it seems to me that you're fantasizing about problems. Doesn't sound like you have any problems in this relationship. And so you're sitting around making one up. On the other hand, if when you can finally go to a restaurant with this guy, you discover that he is rude to waiters and bartenders and doesn't tip, well, for me, being rude to waiters is kind of a deal breaker. Putting up with that, having to witness that as somebody who put himself through college waiting tables is not a price of admission that I've ever been willing to pay to be in a relationship with someone. And it has always been borne out that someone who is rude to waiters, in my experience, also eventually, when you pass through the honeymoon phase, is rude to lovers as well. So there are some things you're going to learn about your partner, and I don't want to minimize the importance of them when you get out of the house together, when you get to go to parties together, when you get to hang out with friends, socialize, dinner parties, when you're moving through the world together as a couple and spending, because he'll go to his place of employment, you'll go to your place of employment, you'll go see some friends on your own, he'll go see some friends on his own. When you're moving through the world separately and then coming back together, and that's going to be a little different. Will it be a problem? It might. It might not. There's only one way to find out, which is to wait for the pandemic to go away and then see what he's like out there in the world. I think considering how much else is going right in this relationship, odds are that when you do get out there in the world with this guy, it's going to continue to go right. He's going to continue to prove to you that he is the good and loving and awesome person that he's proven himself to be while he's been locked up with you and just you. So I think some of the stress you might be feeling about what's it going to be like when the pandemic is lifted is real, but I think you need to keep it in perspective. Considering all the things you know about this guy now, I think it's unlikely he's going to be shitty to waiters. But hey, if he is shitty to waiters, once you can go to restaurants together, dump that motherfucker.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. I'm a 30-year-old gay male living in the Midwest and have a question about wet dreams. So since puberty, I've been getting wet dreams on a pretty consistent basis when I don't masturbate for a week or two. And that makes total sense to me. If I don't force the release, my body will do it after it's been pent up too long. However, lately, I've been jerking off basically every day and having consistent sex with a partner of mine at least once a week, and I'm still having wet dreams. I'm not necessarily concerned, but have talked with multiple friends about it around my age who say they haven't had a wet dream in 5, 10 or more years. I was just calling to see if you have any ideas as to what's happening.
What's happening is that you are having wet dreams. That is what's happening. It's not common. Most people, most men particularly, outgrow the having of wet dreams. A lot of men in adulthood will still have erotic dreams, dirty dreams, but rarely wet dreams. That's a dream one has where one climaxes, one ejaculates in one's sleep. You are an outlier. You're not a freak of nature. There are other people that this happens for, but it is rare. And I think rather than seeing that as a problem, you should see this as a superpower. You still got it, baby. You're still having wet dreams. Enjoy them. Might mean you need to do the sheets a little more often, wash the duvet covers a little more often than the average person. But hey, you get to have wet dreams still in your 30s. Good for you. Before we get to your response calls, let's read your tweets. At Mark Dundas Wood tweets, I could listen to Sarah Silverman all day. So thank you, Dan, for having her on the Savage Lovecast and giving us an extra share of her winning ways. As for the scripted versus sloppy communication mode dilemma, you and she handle both with ease. Thank you, Mark. We love Sarah, too. At Bardone 5 tweets, no, 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 at Fake Dan Savage. Cargo shorts are not for everyone or anyone. Cargo shorts, not a hill I would die on or a garment I would die in. But I got to say, I have never quite understood how passionately some people hate cargo shorts. And finally, at B Itch tweets, LTR, 28-year-old female, 29-year-old male, I'm dying to get married, but boyfriend hasn't committed. Can I be all, hey, we are doing this damn thing or moving on? Hashtag Savage Lovecast. All right, that's more of a question for the Lovecast than a tweet about the Lovecast, but I will allow it. Marry me or get out? Not the most romantic proposal, but often an effective one, so you have my okay to go ahead and issue that ultimatum at Biatch. All right, if you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to include the hashtag Savage Lovecast And now your response calls.
Hey, Dan. Some feedback for the woman whose 14-year-old son asked to see his girlfriend's boobs. Something really important that I feel like you guys missed out on here. An important detail with this call is that the girlfriend had never mentioned, it doesn't seem like, that he ever tried to physically make inappropriate moves on her prior to this process of video chatting. So really the main issue here is just him continuing to ask over and over again. However, we tell young men that asking for consent is incredibly important, and that's something that is important that isn't discussed enough. So I think that the conversation should actually be centered more around, I'm really proud of you for asking for consent, and it is okay for you to have these desires. However, moving forward, when you're becoming more sexual, it's incredibly important when you ask for consent to let the girl know that you are completely okay with her saying no, and also that you will not continue to ask and that you will leave the ball in her court at that stage. So, as you mentioned, we're not shaming him because that's something that can be extremely detrimental. It really fucked me up being shamed at that age. And we're also just taking this as a beautiful opportunity to have a discussion around what consent is and the fact that it's especially important with women because of the danger that they're put in and the pressure that gets put on them. I'm sure she's got a great kid that just needs a little more help.
Hey, Dan, I'm calling about that belly-loving husband from last week's episode. That guy that really preferred his wife's belly to be bigger. I thought that you were super generous towards that guy. Kind of looked at it through a kink filter, which was respectable. I totally had a different reaction. I kind of called bullshit on that guy. Two things really bothered me about that situation. First of all, it seemed like that husband could have been a little more considerate, interested, supportive of his wife's desire to be strong, healthy, and fit. Especially after having a baby. So good on her for her health goals. And the second thing was that that woman really didn't have anything positive to say about that guy's behavior, which left me asking whether or not there really is anything positive about his behavior. And so I hope she's asking herself, are there other areas where this guy is manipulative and controlling?
Hi, Dan. I'm a 30-year-old woman in the Midwest, leaving a comment about your conversation with Sarah Silverman about dating dynamics, mostly a comment about straight people. I wanted to point out that in my experience, the reason that male comics won't specifically date female comedians is because they are incredibly intimidated by women who might be as funny or, God forbid, funnier than them.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Got a question for me or a comment about this week's show? There are two ways to get them to us. You can call us at 206-302-2064, or you can use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question or comment and email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. Tickets are on sale now for Hump 2021. We've got a brand spanking new collection of short, dirty films that we're excited to share with you. We can't get together to enjoy Hump in theaters this year like we usually do, so we're doing it online. We're streaming Hump, and there's a variety of viewing parties to join. We've got one with Hump filmmakers, we've got an all-nude viewing party, and a fully clothed viewing party with me on opening night. Go to humpfilmfest.com to look at the variety of dates, times, and viewing parties and get your tickets. And there's still time to make a film for this year's festival. The deadline for submissions is January 8th, so it's coming right up. But making a film for Hump is a great way to ring in the new year without jinxing it. Go to humpfilmfest.com/submit to find out how to make a film and earn some cash. humpfilmfest.com/submit. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Follow Tim Miller on Twitter at @TimODC. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian. And me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.